Reply to the announcement and letter. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Footnote. In the name of Allah, the Gracious, the Merciful.
End of footnote.
All praise belongs to Allah, Lord of all the worlds. Peace and blessings be upon His Messenger, Muhammad, the Master of the Prophets, the Seal of the Messengers, the Pride of the People of the Early and Latter Days, the Fountainhead of all wisdom, light, and guidance, and a bright lamp that lights the path for spiritual travelers. Furthermore, may peace and blessings be upon His household, the ones who guide, His companions, who fortify the true religion, and upon everyone who follows Him from among the saints, the martyrs, and the righteous. And peace be unto you, O righteous, honored, and exalted ones, from your brothers who have been branded infidels, despised, ostracized from the faith, and abandoned. I will now proceed. O my brother, your letter and announcement have reached me in my village of Qadian. I thank you and pray for you. You have reminded me and mentioned to me some points that you have deemed appropriate. You have harshly rebuked me as one consumed by anger out of his jealous regard for the religion of Allah and His Messenger. May Allah reward you with the best of rewards. May He be beneficent to you, for He is the best benefactor. I have observed that you are a righteous-natured person, because you have not concealed that which is troubling your mind. Neither have you refrained from offering your advice, nor have you offered false praise. This is the manner of the righteous. Nevertheless, O affectionate friend and dear beloved, may Allah pardon you. You have been hasty in considering your brother, who is a believer in Allah, His Messenger, and His Book, as an apostate and one of the disbelievers. You have accused me and fired a volley of arrows in my direction prior to investigating the truth of my claim and understanding the reality of my discourse, or prior to seeking an explanation from me, as one would expect a true scholar to undertake. It is astonishing that someone like you, who is righteous, God-fearing, pure, forbearing, and noble, should write in your announcement that the reward for this apostate is that he should be killed with a sharp sword and hurled into the fire, for this is the recompense of the apostates. O righteous brother, may Allah gladden you, take care of you, protect you, and support you. May He also open your eyes and guide you. Do not attempt to frighten me with a sharp sword, spear, or fire, for I have already been killed by a sword of which you have no knowledge, long before you had even drawn your sword, and I have tasted a fire with which you are unacquainted. Verily, after this, God willing, I became amongst those who are especially blessed by God. O dear one, verily, those whose hearts are sincere in their obedience to Allah, who submit themselves completely to Allah, and drink from the chalice of the love of Allah, their Lord does not allow them to come to naught, nor does He abandon them as their protector. Even if every leaf on every tree, every drop in all the oceans, every granule from all the rocks, and everyone else in the world becomes their adversary. On the contrary, those who render obedience to Him and seek only His pleasure are a people whose grief lies only in separation from Him.
When they find what they seek, neither anxiety nor affliction remain, even if they are killed or incinerated.
Neither the insults of people nor the curses of any sect harm them. Allah makes every curse a source of blessing for them, and every offense a source of mercy. Does not our Lord know what is in our hearts? Are you more knowledgeable than Him? Do not, therefore, be among those who are hasty. O my brother, I have not abandoned the path, nor have I disobeyed the Exalted Lord. Our book is not but the noble Furqan, the Holy Quran, and our Prophet and Beloved is none but the merciful Mustafa, the Chosen One, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The curse of Allah is upon those who deviate from His religion by even one iota. They shall enter hell as accursed ones. But, O my brother, there are subtleties and insights in the Book of Allah which do not contradict any doctrine nor conflict with any commandment. They are not vouchsafed to anyone except he who is one of the devoted emissaries during the time destined for the revelation. And Allah has secrets, and secrets beyond secrets, whose stars do not rise except at their appointed time. So do not argue with Allah regarding His secrets.
Would you be so audacious as to question your Lord, why did you do this, and why did you not do that?
O my brother, leave the unseen to God, and do not try to interfere in His domain, and do not ignore the subtleties of knowledge whose sources are to be found deeply rooted in the apparent meaning of the sacred law, and do not follow that of which you have no knowledge. Rather, tread only upon the path of the righteous. The eminent companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Tabi'een,
footnote, the generation of Muslims who met or saw the blessed companions radiyallahu anhum of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, publisher. End of footnote.
Were in agreement regarding the generalities of the descent of the Messiah, peace be on him, but they left the details for Allah, the Creator of heaven and earth, to reveal. Furthermore, how can the descent of the Messiah, peace be upon him, be taken literally while Allah has already declared in His great book that He has died and passed away? He says,
Ya Isa, inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka ilayya.
Footnote.
O Jesus, I will cause you to die a natural death and will exalt you to myself. Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 56.
End of footnote.
Then he says,
فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيْهِمْ.
Footnote.
But since you caused me to die, you have been the watcher over them. Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 118.
End of footnote.
And he states,
فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتَ.
Footnote.
And then he retains those against which he has decreed death. Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse 43.
End of footnote.
Further, he says,
وَحَرَامٌ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ.
Footnote.
And it is an inviolable law for a township which we have destroyed that they shall not return. Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 96.
End of footnote.
Moreover, he states,
وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ.
Footnote.
Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 145.
End of footnote.
Meaning that all of them, the messengers, have died, just as the great Siddiq, Abu Bakr, concluded upon the death of the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Thereafter, no doubt can remain regarding the death of the Messiah and the impossibility of His return, if indeed you are believers in Allah and His holy verses. Allah has set a seal upon prophethood with our messenger and prophetic revelation has ceased. How then can the Messiah come while there can be no prophet after our messenger? Will he turn up as one deposed and stripped of prophethood? Our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the glad tidings that the future Messiah will appear from among his community and that he will be a Muslim. In the authentic ahadith, there are ones that are marfu',
footnote,
literally meaning elevated, a hadith classification denoting that its chain of transmitters connects directly to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
End of footnote.
And muttasil,
footnote,
literally means connected, a hadith classification denoting that there is no interruption in the chain of reporters.
End of footnote.
Which bear witness to the death of Jesus, on whom be peace. Particularly in Sahih al-Bukhari, we find a clear explanation regarding this matter. It is a matter of great astonishment that a sensible man could entertain doubt concerning the death of Jesus, despite the statements of the Book of Allah and His Messenger, and waver distrustfully. After learning about these verses of Allah, which statement can then cause us to abandon the endless proofs of the Quran? Should we prefer doubt to certainty? There is no consensus about the ascent of the Messiah into the heavens whilst still being alive. On the contrary, there are divergent opinions. Some believe in his death, while others insist he is alive. But you will never find in the texts of the Quran and the hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ any argument for his being alive. Rather, you will learn from reports, traditional sources, and from all sides the declaration of death. Our Messenger, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has died. Is Jesus better than him, or is he immortal? The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, saw him during the night of the ascension among the deceased prophets, peace be on all of them. Do you think the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, made a mistake about his vision or said that this was contrary to the truth? God forbid. On the contrary, he was the most veracious of the truthful ones. As such, these are the reasons which have compelled us to acknowledge the death of the Messiah. Furthermore, I have also received profuse and continuous revelations from God which confirm this. We do not see in this belief any conflict with the statements of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the belief of the companions or the tabi'in, subsequent generation. All of the companions used to believe in the death of the Messiah, and, in like manner, those who came after them from among the perceptive servants of Allah. Have you not observed in Sahih al-Bukhari how Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu an explained the verse, Ya Isa inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka ilayya.
Footnote: O Jesus, I will cause thee to die a natural death, and will exalt you to myself. Surah Ali Imran, Chapter 3, Verse 56, Publisher. End of footnote.
He stated, Mutawaffika means to cause you to die naturally. Imam Bukhari indicates the validity of this statement by quoting the verse, Inni mutawaffika, I will cause you to die, in other places as well. This is the methodology employed by Bukhari in exercising independent judgment and presenting his viewpoints, which is well known to the learned. O righteous brother, observe how Bukhari, may Allah have mercy on him, indicated his viewpoint. Combining two verses from different locations and demonstrating their resemblance, he acknowledged that the Messiah had died. Reflect, therefore, upon what I have presented. Verily Allah loves those who reflect. I find no advantage or comfort in abandoning the Book of Allah and the Sunan, practices of His Messenger, and thereby not only having to bear loss in this world, but also in the next, and further having to bear listening to the curses of the imprecators. O noble brother, truth is more worthy of being followed, and it is that which should be accepted and heeded, for the hand of truth can easily rip the robe of doubt. Truth is that gem which emerges from the foundry and glitters at the time that Allah has decreed for it. There is an appointed time for every tiding, and there is a time of ascension for every star. None become cognizant of the mysteries until after their occurrence. So, blessed is the one who understands this secret and perceives the matter in a sensible way. I am thoroughly convinced that a person such as yourself, with your consummate excellence and piety, is someone who, if he were acquainted with the knowledge I have been acquainted with, would restrain his tongue from cursing and maligning me, and would accept what I have said about the knowledge of religion and faith. But I think you have not truly understood my statements, nor truly know the nature of my claim. I think only well of you, and I entreat Allah for His grace and mercy on your behalf, for He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. O pleasure of a blessed land and its scion, you are, by the grace of Allah, a pious, immaculate, and pure person. Truly I love you and am completely genuine, like a sincere friend. I swear by Allah that if you show me verses of the Quran in support of your position and produce clear authority, then I will agree with you and accept your point of view. I only desire the truth. I have resisted everything that may cause dissension or division, as I have drunk from the milk of unity. Therefore, argue with me with wisdom and the verses of the Book of Allah, which is the final authority. You will find me, God willing, among the fair-minded. However, if instead you wish to abuse me, to curse me, to brand me a liar, to execute me with a sharp sword, or to hurl me into the fire, then do as you please. I will respond only with prayers for your well-being and beneficence. O people of the sacred household, may Allah have mercy on you in this world and the next, and grant you refuge among those who are shown mercy. O respected Shaykh, abstain from conflict, as it ought not to arise. Fear Allah and take advantage of an opportunity which should not be lost. Embark upon a journey to me as an honest and well-prepared man, and come to me diligently. Come hither and take upon yourself the trouble to reach my home. Be my guest and break bread with me for 2 months. Allah will demonstrate a phenomenon which cannot be shown by anyone else in the entire world, nor can it be found in books which do not have the power to clearly discern the truth. Then you will come to know me with the eye of certainty. Should you come to me in sincerity, I will pray for you night and day, and I hope that your heart will be softened during your stay, and that I will begin to see signs of the acceptance of my prayer, and that the veil of your suspicion will be lifted, for Allah is all-powerful, the helper, and the ultimate support. O noble and righteous brother, do not pay any attention to the edicts of disbelief or to my rejection by the ulama. I have learned from Allah that which they do not know. I have been taught the reality of the matter by my Lord. However, they are among the heedless. Do not look upon me through the eyes of my brethren, who see me as insignificant, contemptible, and wretched, for Allah continually looks upon me with mercy. I am pushed left and right. I am scrutinized under conditions of misery and prosperity, and I am shifted by winds both violent and comforting. However, God willing, I will meet a good end, as I am one who has been given the glad tidings of victory. Today they despise, calumniate, and reject me, and I see that they ardently desire to kill me, were they capable of doing so. The time will come when my truth becomes manifest, and Allah will demonstrate to His servants the signs of His grace upon me. Thereupon, the brilliance of His providence and the extent of His grace will become manifest. They will then come to me full of remorse. Blessed indeed is the eye that has seen me before the time of my victory, and blessed indeed will be the fortunate one who comes to me in sincerity. O Shaykh, the time has drawn nigh, and the major part of the time allocated for the life of this world has passed. So come to me, providing you are patient and willing to reflect and accept guidance. Return to truth and eschew enmity. Do not forget the consequences and engage not in a duel with the Lord. Hasten to me and restrain yourself in order that Allah might grant you forgiveness for that which has preceded, as well as that which has passed. So accept the truth and be among the obedient. If you are not able to undertake such a long journey, there is an alternative method if you wish to take it. First, expel from your heart every evil thought that has entered it. Next, arise, perform wudu, ritual ablution, and offer 2 rak'at, units of prayer. Invoke blessings on the Holy Prophet and ask for forgiveness sincerely as one who truly repents. Then, lie on your side, turn your face towards the Qibla in Mecca, and focus your entire concentration on your Lord, supplicating silently. Ask Allah to unveil to you the truth about my claim and the reality of my statements. Then, go to sleep while saying, O All-Aware One, inform me about the claim of Ahmad, son of Ghulam Murtada of Qadian. Is he accepted by you or rejected? Is he accursed or beloved? Verily, you know what is in the hearts of your servants. Nothing is veiled from your purview. You are the best of witnesses. O our Lord, grant us from yourself knowledge that leads us towards the truth. Grant us insight in order that we may avoid stepping into the path of error, and count us among those who are granted success. It is unbecoming that we should become audacious in your presence or judge ignorantly the secrets of your servants. Our Lord, grant us forgiveness for our sins and excesses in our affairs and open our eyes. Do not let us be among those who oppose your awliya, friends, or among those who incline towards wrongdoers. Ameen. Again, Ameen. O my brother, recite the istikhara prayer.
Footnote.
A special prayer to seek divine guidance in important affairs.
End of footnote.
From one Friday until the next, and follow your tahajjud, optional prayer offered at night, with these two rak'at. Inform me when you intend to commence this supplication, so that I may join you in fellowship with your prayer. I will pray for you in your endeavor because I anticipate that my Lord will hear my plea and accept my supplication. Assuredly, He is indeed gracious to me. He is the light of my eyes and the strength of my body. By Allah, I am one of those who have achieved nearness to Him. O revered one, I see you as a righteous young man. Therefore, I sincerely hope that you will accept what I have said to you. Moreover, I hope that your heart will be filled with compassion for the religion of my master and yours and your grandfather. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. May you tread the path of knowledge. Remember, O my brother, the day of mutual calling and wailing, and repent before the journey to the hereafter. Hence, let all rancor be expelled from thy heart, and purify thy soul from the venom of obstinacy. At the time of wrongdoing, fear the vanquishing power of the Protector. Halt! Then pursue the path of rectitude. I swear that verily I, O Son of the Honorable Ones, have been sent by the Lord of Humanity. I have been conferred knowledge upon knowledge, and chalice after chalice of magnanimity. At all times, my Beloved exalts me, draws me close, and grants my desire. How can I be aggrieved by the curses of imprecators when my truth will soon be proclaimed throughout the world? We have drunk a goblet in the ravines, and another we shall drink in the high plateau. I fear not my death nor my murder, since my death would have been expended in the course of jihad. We have cherished the Beloved over life itself, and we stand ready for martyrdom with open arms. What is to be lamented in a pious death? The loss is in taking the road to perdition. Indeed, I came out into the sun, and a fountain of light sprang forth from my heart. By the grace of Allah, verily the Beloved is with us. He does not cause my goods to be unsaleable. He gently draws me close to His presence and makes me drink the wine of unity. Truly, the guidance of the Furqan is my creed, and I invite you to the right path. Arise, therefore, if you please, like an obedient lover. If not, then sit among the enemy. The enemy competes with me, determined to wage war. I have repulsed the attacks. Therefore, O my people, come to the duel. My duty was to give you this sincere admonition for the sake of Allah. Thus, I have discharged my obligation with love. O distinguished brother, I have not come like an unexpected visitor during the hours of the night, nor like the sudden waters of a flood. Rather, I have come only during the time of dire necessity and at the beginning of the century. Allah has made me a mujaddid, reformer for this century, to revitalize their religion. In the authentic narrations it is related, verily Allah will raise up for this ummah at the beginning of each century a person who will revitalize their religion. Therefore, search for him, inquiring who is the mujaddid of this century. So reflect, for verily Allah supports those who reflect. In other narrations it is related, when the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, died, the earth cried out, O Lord, I have become bereft of the footsteps of the prophets. May peace and blessings be on all of them till the day of judgment. Thereupon, Allah revealed to it, "Verily, I will create upon you persons whose hearts will be like those of the prophets. Among them will be Aqtab and Abdal, and among them will be the Ghawth, and among them are those that are otherwise." Footnote: Ghawth meaning saint, Qutb meaning spiritual guiding stars, and Abdal meaning saints, substitutes, vicegerents appointed for carrying out the will of God Almighty, are various designations used for awliyaullah, the friends of God. End footnote. Each one will be a recipient of verbal revelation and inspiration. Among them will be one whose heart is like that of Noah, Abraham, and Moses. Also, among them will be he whose heart is like Jesus, and they will tread the footsteps of the prophets. Observe, O my brother, evidence of the mercy of Allah, how He has honored this Ummah and has made them analogous to the prophets of Israel. If this astonishes you, equally astonishing is the statement of those who say, "How can a likeness of the Messiah come?" This is nothing but a statement of disbelief. They do not reflect upon what Allah and His Messenger have said, nor do they deliberate upon the verses and traditions, passing their lives in indolence. O my brother, observe in Al-Bukhari and other authentic books of Hadith how our Prophet and Messenger, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, gave us glad tidings and said that there would be within his Ummah a people who, despite not being prophets, Allah would speak to. They would be called Muhaddithin, recipients of divine revelation. Allah, glorified is He, says, ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ. Footnote: a large party from among the early Muslims and a large party from the later ones. Surah Al-Waqi'ah, chapter 56, verses 40-41.
End of footnote.
And he enjoins his servants to pray, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ.
Footnote:
guide us in the right path, the path of those on whom you have bestowed your blessings. Surah Al-Fatiha, chapter 1, verses 6-7.
End of footnote.
So what is the meaning of this prayer if we are meant to be among those who have been excluded from these blessings? And you know that the foremost of those upon whom Allah has bestowed blessings are the prophets and the messengers. The blessing is not dirhams or dinars, but knowledge, gnosis, and the descent of grace and light, as is well established among the wise. Moreover, if we have been commanded to recite this prayer in every salah, obligatory prayer, then our Lord has only commanded us so that our prayers may be answered and that we might be bestowed those blessings that He bestowed upon the messengers. He has given us the glad tidings, exalted be His name, that we have been made the heirs of those blessings that were bestowed upon the prophets and messengers before us. How then can we deny these blessings and become like blind people? How can it be possible for Allah to leave us disappointed by failing to fulfill His promises after having assured us? O my brother, you know that the best among those upon whom blessings have been bestowed are the prophets and messengers. Allah has given us glad tidings of the bestowal of their guidance and their perfect perspicacity, which is unattainable except after verbal communication with Allah the Exalted or witnessing His signs. May Allah forgive you. How can it be alleged that the awliya, friends of Allah, are debarred from verbal communication with Him, His conversation, and are not among those addressed by Him? O my brother, you are aware that our people's books are full of accounts of the conversations between Allah and His awliya, as well as communication between the true God and His close servants. He is the generous one who causes His word to descend by His command upon whomsoever of His servants He pleases, and strengthens thereby whomsoever He pleases in faith and certainty.
Have you not read in the book Futuhul Ghaib, Revelations of the Unseen, composed by my master Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani, rahimahullah, how he mentions the true nature of verbal communication.
He states, "Verily Allah speaks to his awliya in the most eloquent and delightful manner, reveals unto them secrets, and informs them of future events. He bestows upon them the knowledge of prophets, their light, their insight, and their miracles, but as a heritage and not as the owner. He makes them his representatives in the earth and the heavens, and in the entire kingdom of God. Observe, therefore, their status, and do not be surprised, for surely Allah is overflowing with munificence, which he bestows upon his servants as he pleases, and he is not miserly. Allah has narrated to us the accounts of those who were the recipients of revelation in his magnificent book. He has informed us that he spoke to the mother of Moses, peace be on him, Dhul-Qarnayn, and the disciples of Jesus, none of whom were a prophet or messenger, but they were among his beloved servants. Is it not a source of great wonder that Allah spoke to the women of the children of Israel, bestowing upon them the privilege of speaking with him and the honor of conversing with him, but he did not bestow upon men of this ummah a share thereof, despite it being the ummah of the best of messengers? And despite naming it Khairul Umam, the best of communities, sealing thereby all communities, and saying, Thullatum min al-akhirin.
Footnote,
Surah Al-Waqi'ah, chapter 56, verses 40 to 41.
End of footnote.
Meaning that, among them will be many male and female recipients of revelation. O my brother, may Allah grant you forgiveness in both abodes. You are a witness to the increasing need for the advent of a mujaddid in the current age, who should strengthen the true religion, establish arguments, and stone satanic forces. Do you not see that aberrance has prevailed? Do you not see that the attacks of the disbelievers have engulfed and encompassed us? How many communities have been doomed to perdition and perished? Do you not see these evils? Are you not among those who are sorely distressed by the misfortune that has befallen Islam? Have you not heard this news, or are you among the indolent? Has the mischief of the disbelievers not intensified? Has the time not come for the fulfillment of the prophetic narrations? Has disorder not become widespread throughout villages, countries, and continents? Has the time not come for the mercy of the Most Merciful One? Has the might of the wicked not become manifest in this time of darkness, leaving us beleaguered? Observe, O brother of mine, how mankind has become enveloped by darkness, injustice, and oppression. We are frightened on all sides by a clamor of sharp sounds and voices wailing and lamenting all around us. We have been afflicted by wretchedness. The disbelievers' assault has been like a sweeping destruction, obliterating all traces of godliness and righteousness. Such calamities have befallen us that would make the mountains crumble. The earth has become filled with polytheism, falsehood, lies, and repulsive deeds. The ranks of the wicked appear as far as the eye can see. On observing the weakness of Islam during these times, I shed tears of agony like a woman in labor.
I could see the paths leading to destruction, and I waited for the help of Allah, the Omniscient, to arrive.
It was at this time that divine providence was manifested for me, and I felt the breeze of the Provider's grace. I was given glad tidings through revelations of the highest degree, like the glad tidings of a son given to an expectant mother. At this I rejoiced and became delighted, following which I was commanded to distribute these blessings to my associates, placing my complete trust in Allah alone. However, they accused me of disbelief, cursed me, abused me, hurt me, and turned people against me. I have been maligned both at home and abroad. I have observed that most Muslim scholars are enslaved by their own evil inclinations. I perceive them to be like a bondsman in tattered clothes, limping in his gait, with deafness in his ears, a covering over his eyes, and a disease in his heart, both a burden for his master and with no redeeming features so that he may be sold. They direct their venom towards their own brethren, forgetting the attacks of their enemies. I see that their hearts are inclined towards gifts, not prayer. They hasten to request endowments, not guidance. They prefer the raiment of conceit rather than the raiment of comfort, as between bosom friends. They strike their brethren like scorpions, even if they are their own relatives. They neither fear the Lord of Lords nor show regard for Him in the way in which they earn their livelihood. They hasten to the gates of rulers, forgetting the majestic presence. Despite all this, they accuse their brethren of disbelief and regard themselves as benefactors. But accusations of disbelief and falsehood cannot harm those who prefer Allah more than their own souls, their own honor, and their own wealth. Is not Allah sufficient for His servant? Who is comparable to Him in love and sincerity towards those who love Him? His beneficence far surpasses what is due to those who do good, and He does not withhold His grace from those who strive in His cause. O honored brother, be kind, for verily, kindness is the foundation of goodness and one of the signs of the righteous. You should present to me your misgivings in order that I might give you that which has evaded you and is lost to you. You will find me, God willing, a sincere friend and a good companion along the path of the servants of God. Allah has bestowed upon me power from Himself to dispel suspicions from the hearts of people. He has opened unto me the doors of educating mankind, completing the argument, and demonstrating the truth. I am, by His grace, among those who are supported by divine help, but those who do not aspire to truth cannot recognize me. Although they perceive the signs from Allah, they are nevertheless among the deniers. They attack, insult, glare, and are bursting with fury. They do not ponder or reflect like those in search of guidance. I swear by Allah that I am truthful and not of those who invent lies. I swear by Allah that I am not a suitor of this mundane world and its carrion. So woe to those who entertain evil thoughts about me. Pity on those who exceed the bounds. My case is like the case of a man who has fallen in love with someone, preferring that love over everything else. Like one who has fully devoted himself to his beloved, continuously seeking their nearness, and for the sake of meeting them, he has forsaken his own homeland. Like one who has left the soil of his native land, the comradeship of his friends, and proceeded to the city of his beloved. Like one who has abandoned his house, silver, and gold for the sake of his beloved. Like one who has lost himself for the sake of his beloved, to the extent that he has become annihilated. I swear by the might of Allah and His Majesty that I have preferred the face of my Lord over every other face, His door over every other door, and His pleasure over every other pleasure. I swear by His might that He is with me at all times, and I am with Him at all times. I have chosen the wealth of religion as it is sufficient for me, even if I do not possess anything at all, not even to prepare my coffin. Truly, I am blessed with favors in spite of my poverty, and am devoid of selfish desires and worldly aspirations. My Lord has filled me with an ardent passion, and my heart is infused with His countenance. I have a standing with Him, of which no one in the entire world has any knowledge. O noble one, some of the mysteries of the former times were concealed. This was in accordance with a determinate decree. Then, during our time, their fulfillment has become evident, the ambiguity has been removed, and the errors of the fanatics have become manifest. Thus my Lord acted in order to expose the haughtiness of the evil ulama and to show His power in the face of the bigots. The case of the descent of the Messiah is like the case of Elijah's descent. Allah had promised His Elijah's descent. Then John came in his place. In that surely is guidance for those who reflect. If you are uninformed, then ask the Jews and Christians, as this narrative is well known among them, and all of them agree to its veracity. Therefore, investigate, and be not among the indolent. O revered brother, certainly the narrative of Elijah is one of the established truths recurring among the people of the book, and Allah has revealed the reality of that matter to their prophets. Therefore, follow their guidance, and do not become one of the innovators. Thus, you should understand that we have held fast and adhered to to the example which has previously been made clear, but there is no such precedent in support of your argument. So which side has a greater claim to be trusted? Thus, do not venture into the realm of that which has no precedent. Rather, if you are unsure of the past practice of Allah, then inquire from those who possess the reminder, if you are truly a seeker after truth. Verily, I have shown to you the practice of Allah with reference to those who have passed away before, but you have not shown from the practice of Allah any evidence in support of your claim, and you will never find any change in the practice of Allah. So do not dispute like an insolent one. You know that Allah has rebutted your statement in His book and has mentioned the death of the Messiah with the word Tawaffi, as He has mentioned the death of our Prophet with that identical word. Yet you interpret that word in one way regarding the Messiah and in a different way regarding our Master. That indeed is an unfair division and treason in the religion of Allah. But you neither fear Him nor do you reply thoughtfully. Rather, you drop excrement like birds flying high, without descending to reach any understanding. You do not fear the powerful arches of the honest ones. If your position is clearly true, then why do you not produce a verse testifying to the life of the Messiah and His descent? Produce a similar precedent which has operated in the past. How can we accept your innovations which contradict the Book of Allah, the practice of His Messenger, and the practice of the truthful who have passed away? Shall we accept your statement and repudiate the statement of the most veracious teacher? O righteous Shaykh, do not deny the signs of Allah, do not repudiate His blessings after their descent, and do not be contemptuous towards His appointed ones. Those illumined with the light of their Lord do not fear anyone except Allah, so do not call any of them timorous or humiliated. Do not fight with Allah, nor become emboldened against the Lord of heaven and earth. Do not follow conjectures of whose true reality you are ignorant, for conjecture cannot stand against truth. The truth will ultimately become manifest, and then you will be among the remorseful. If I am a liar, then the penalty of my lie will be upon me. But if I am truthful, Allah will support me and demonstrate to all creation my truth and my light. Allah does not cause His truthful servants to come to naught. Like myself, many of the awliya, aqtab, and imams had been accused of disbelief. Footnote: in this context, the term refers to the imam of the age, the one for whose spiritual training God Almighty Himself assumes charge. Publisher. End of footnote. Some of them were even crucified and slain, and some of them were driven from their homelands and dwellings and persecuted until the help of Allah came to them. Thus, they did not perish, nor were they unsuccessful. Allah augmented them with His blessing and might. He made many hearts incline towards them, and caused the effects of their blessings to reach subsequent generations. In a similar manner, my Lord gave me glad tidings and said,
Inni sa'utika barakatan wa ujalli anwaraha hatta yatabarraka bithiyabika almuluku wassalatin.
I shall bestow my blessing on you and shall illumine its light, so much so that kings and rulers will seek blessings from your garments. Footnote: whoever believes in Allah and His signs should believe that Allah sends revelation unto whomsoever He pleases among His servants, whether he is an apostle or not, and speaks to whomsoever He pleases, whether he is a prophet or one of the muhaddithin, recipients of divine revelation. Have you not observed that Allah has informed us in His book that He spoke to the mother of Moses? He said,
لا تخافي ولا تحزني إنا رادوه إليك وجاعلوه من المرسلين.
Footnote: fear not, nor grieve, for we shall restore him to thee, and shall make him one of the messengers. Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 8. End of footnote. Similarly, He sent revelation to the disciples, and He spoke to Dhul-Qarnayn. He has informed us of this in His book. Then He gave us glad tidings by saying,
ثلة من الأولين وثلة من الآخرين.
Footnote:
A large party from among the earlier people and a large party from the later ones. Surah Al-Waqi'ah, chapter 56, verses 40 to 41.
End of footnote.
In this verse, he indicates that this ummah will be spoken to by God, just as the previous ummahs were. Therefore, he who sincerely desires to seek guidance from the Quran will not remain in a state of confusion, nor will he be among those who entertain doubts once he has heard the explanation provided by the Book of Allah. However, he who does not adhere to the commandments of the Book nor refrains from its prohibitions is one who neither believes in it nor can he be considered to be among the believers. All awliya are in agreement that Almighty Allah addresses and engages the muhaddithin in conversation, just as my respected and beloved Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, may Allah be pleased with him, has stated in his book Futuh al-Ghaib, to teach the spiritual wayfarer. Summarizing his statement, he said, "The people of Allah possess signs through which they are recognized. Of them are preternatural phenomena, visions, communication with Allah, true fear and reverence for Allah, and holding Him above everything else. They manifest all that which behoves the righteous." He also said, "When you are dead to creation, it will be said to you, 'May Allah have mercy on you,' and He will put to death your will and desire. And when you are dead in your will and desire, it will be said to you, 'May Allah have mercy on you,' and He will restore you to a new life. Then you will be among those who are shown mercy. At that time, you will be given a life after which there is no death, and you will be enriched with a wealth after which there is no poverty. You will be given a gift after which there will be no obstruction. You will be blessed with a comfort after which there will be no misery. You will be blessed with a blessing after which there will be no distress. You will be taught a knowledge after which there will be no ignorance. You will be granted security after which there is no fear. You will be made to prosper so as not to be unfortunate. You will be honored so as not to be dishonored. You will be brought near to Allah so as not to be kept away. You will be exalted so as not to be abased. You will be honored so as not to be humiliated. And you will be purified so as not to be defiled. Allah will deliver you and purify you from the defilements of the ways of the sinful. Then you will be the fulfillment of all hopes, and all testimonies will assume a reality in you. Then you will become the philosopher's stone, so much so that you will be hardly recognizable. You will be exalted to a state such that there will be none like yourself. You will be unique in that you will have no equal, and you will be singular without peer. Thereupon, you will become, in the sight of your Lord, one of the inhabitants of heaven, not an inhabitant of the earth. You will become the most unique and peerless, the most hidden and the most secret. At that time, you will become heir to every messenger, prophet, and truthful one. You will be granted everything that they have been given of illumination, mysteries, blessings, verbal communication, revelation, discourses, and other signs from the Lord of all the worlds. You will bear the seal of wilaya, friendship with God, and the living saints will flock towards you. Difficulties will be removed through you. Through you, clouds of nourishing rain will be sent and crops will grow. Through you will be removed the afflictions of the rank and file of the people of the country, including the inhabitants of the seashores and frontiers, even rulers, subjects, leaders, and followers, and all other creatures. Thus you will become the fort of your country and people, and you will be one who is commissioned. People will flock towards you from afar, their hands bearing gifts and donations and rendering service in every condition by the permission of the Creator of all things. Tongues will be engaged in compliment and praise for you in every situation. And no two persons of the people of faith will differ with regard to you. The hearts of scholars as well as illiterates will incline towards you. The tongue of eternity will be calling you, and the Lord of the universe will be teaching you and will clothe you with light and spiritual vestments from himself. He will install you to the ranks of your predecessors from among the first possessors of knowledge, namely the prophets and the truthful. After this, you will be granted the power of creation and the ability to perform miracles. These supernatural phenomena will be observed to be proceeding from you, whereas, in fact, they will be the acts of Allah and His will. Then you will be caused to become among people who are anguished in the love of God, and among the group of those who are fully submissive to Him and whose hearts have become humble, whose natural passions and carnal desires have been shattered and obliterated, and in their place has been placed divine will, such that even their daily desires and needs function under the command of God, and who have become completely transformed. Some of Allah's workings are revealed to His awliya, friends, and to the abdal in a way that astounds the minds and breaks normal customs and conventions. Further, Allah, exalted is He, will speak to them pleasant words, grant them intimate conversation, bestow glad tidings of immense gifts, lofty ranks, and nearness to Himself, so that all their affairs will end up with Him. They will achieve the goal that He has already decreed for them as a favor and mercy from Himself, and by way of a sign from Himself to them in this world. And this will continue till the end of time as predetermined by the Most Merciful of those who show mercy. Allah the Exalted has said in some of His books, O son of Adam, I am Allah, there is no other deity besides me. I say to a thing, be, and it comes into being. Obey me, and I will enable you to say to a thing, be, and it will likewise come into existence. Allah has made His awliya like pegs for the earth, and has made this world for them as the garden of eternal abode. Thus, they have two paradises, this world and the next. They are like mountains which stand firm. They are unique with respect to truth, loyalty, and piety. O ye helpless man, step aside from their path, and do not stand in the way of these men whom no one can divert from seeking the truth, whether they be fathers, mothers, daughters, or sons, for they are the best among those whom my Lord has created and spread throughout the earth. May the peace of Allah, His salutation, and His blessings be upon them all. O spiritual wayfarer, when your knowledge and certainty have been strengthened, your heart has been expanded and illumined, your nearness to your Master, your position in His sight, and your trustworthiness with Him have increased, and your worthiness to be the custodian of His secrets is enhanced, then you will be given knowledge from Him, and you will be bestowed your reward prior to your death as a sign in your support and as exaltation of your dignity. This is a favor from Him, a grace and a gift. Then you will be granted a new being, which you will be with a clear permission that has no ambiguity, with crystal clear arguments, with pleasant words that are more pleasing than any pleasantry, and with true, unequivocal revelation, purified from all premonitions of the inner self or whispers of the accursed Satan. The discourse of the revered Master, the Qutb of his time, Imam of his age, may Allah be pleased with him, is completed, and we have recorded it concisely. Refer, therefore, to his book Futuh al-Ghaib if you are in doubt. It is obvious from the aforementioned words of this Imam that the revelation that descends upon the prophets similarly descends upon the awliya, and that there is no difference in the descent of revelation whether it is to a prophet or wali, and each is given a share of Allah's revelation and conversations according to his own station. However, the revelation of the prophets is more comprehensive and perfect. The most intensive type of revelation was the one revealed to our messenger, the seal of the prophets. The Mujaddid, Imam As-Sirhindi, As-Sheikh Ahmad, may Allah be pleased with him, stated in a letter in which he wrote some of his admonitions to his disciple, Muhammad Siddiq. Know, O Siddiq, that his discourse, holy is he, with men, can be oral, and that it is bestowed upon some of the prophets. It can also be bestowed upon some of their perfect followers. When this type of discourse with one of them is copious, he is designated a muhaddith. This discourse is different from revelation, or the impression upon the mind and heart or speech, which is through the agency of an angel. This speech is addressed only to the perfect man, and Allah chooses for His mercy whomsoever He pleases. His words end here, but you can refer to His discourses if you are in doubt regarding what I have quoted. Furthermore, consider the story of the one who said,
وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي
Footnote,
and I did it not of my own accord. Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, verse 83.
End of footnote.
Yet he was not one of the messengers. Consider also when Allah the Exalted said,
فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَسَرًا سَوِيًّا قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا قال إنما أنا رسول ربك لأهب لك غلاما زكيا.
Footnote.
Then we sent our angel to her, and he appeared to her in the form of a perfect man. She said, I seek refuge with the gracious God from you if indeed you do fear him. He replied, I am only a messenger of your Lord, that I may bestow on you a righteous son. Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verses 18 to 20.
End of footnote.
Observe how the angel of Allah spoke to Maryam, though she was not a prophetess. So fear Allah and be not of the transgressors. Moreover, a report appears in an authentic hadith from Umar bin al-Harith, who said, while Umar was delivering the sermon on Friday, he digressed from his sermon and cried out two or three times, O Saria, the mountain. Then he reverted to the sermon. So some people from among the companions of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, he is indeed an insane person to depart from his sermon and cry out, O Saria, the mountain. So Abdurrahman bin Auf went to him and inquired about the incident. He said, O Commander of the Faithful, why have you behaved in such a manner that people spoke about you? During your sermon you cried out, O Saria, the mountain, what does this mean? He, Umar, replied, I swear by Allah I could not help it, for I saw at that time Saria and his companions fighting near the mountain, and the enemy was advancing from the front and the rear. That is why I was compelled to say, O Saria, the mountain, in order that they might seek cover at the mountain. Subsequently, when some days had passed, Saria's courier brought a letter which stated, we encountered the enemy on Friday, and we fought them after the morning prayer until the arrival of the time for Al-Jumu'ah, the Friday prayer. Then we heard a voice advising us, the mountain, twice. Therefore, we sought refuge at the mountain, and thereafter we became victorious over our enemy in a way that Allah vanquished them and manifested a clear victory. End footnote. And he said, I shall humiliate him who designs to humiliate you. Verily, we shall suffice against those who mock you. Allah has placed blessing in you, O Ahmad. Whatever you did let loose, it was not you, but it was Allah who let it loose, so that you should warn the people whose ancestors have not been warned, and that the way of the guilty ones might become manifest. Say, I have been commissioned, and I am the first of the believers. Say, the truth has come, and falsehood has vanished away, and falsehood was bound to vanish. Every blessing is from Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So, highly blessed is he who taught, and he who has been taught.
And say, if I have invented it of myself, the sin thereof is on me.
These people will devise their plans, and Allah will devise His plan, and Allah is the best of planners. Allah is the God who has sent His Messenger and His Appointed One with guidance and the true faith, so that He should make this faith prevail over all diverse faiths. No one can avert the words of Allah, "I am with you, so be with me wherever you might be." Be with Allah wherever you are. In whatever direction you turn, there will be the countenance of Allah. You are the best people who have been raised for the benefit of mankind, and as a source of pride for the believers. Despair not of the mercy of Allah. Hearken, indeed the mercy of Allah is near. Hearken, the help of Allah is near.
Help will come to you by every distant track.
Allah will help you from Himself. Such people will help you, whom we shall inspire from ourself. No one can change the words of Allah. Today you are in a position of high standing and trust with us. They will say, "This is all His own invention." Say, "Allah is the source of all this," and then leave them being beguiled by their sport. And who is guilty of greater wrong than one who invents a lie and utters falsehood against Allah? My mercy is upon you in matters of the world and the faith, and you are among the people who have been granted the succor of Allah. Good news for you, O my Ahmad. You are my purpose and you are with me. I have planted your honor with my own hand. Is this a matter of wonder for people? Tell them, Allah is the possessor of wonders. He chooses whom He wills from among His creatures. He is not questioned about that which He does, but people are questioned. And such days we cause to alternate among men. When Allah the Almighty helps a believer, He makes many in the earth jealous of him. Deal kindly with people and be compassionate towards them. You are to me like Musa, Moses. Then be steadfast under the oppression of the oppressors. Do people imagine that they should be left alone to say, "We have believed," and that they should not be tried? A trial will arise here. Then be steadfast, as prophets of high resolve were steadfast. Hearken, this tribulation is from God Almighty, so that He might love you, the love of God. God will bestow your reward in full and will be pleased with you and will perfect your name. They only mock you. Say, "I am of the truthful ones," so wait a while for my signs. All praise belongs to Allah who has made you Masih ibn Maryam, the Messiah, son of Mary. Announce, "This is the grace of Allah and I eschew every kind of title. I am one of the Muslims." They desire to put out the light of Allah with the breath of their mouths, but Allah will perfect His light and will revive the faith. We intend to send down to you signs from heaven and to scatter your enemies completely. The command of Allah the Gracious for the vicegerent of Allah who is invested with authority. Then put your trust in Allah and construct the ark under our supervision and direction. Those who enter into a covenant with you enter into a covenant with Allah. Allah's hand is above their hands. There are many groups who have become deserving of punishment. They plan, and Allah is the best of planners. Say, "I have with me proof from Allah." Then will you believe or not? Say, "I have with me proof from Allah." Then will you accept it or not? My Lord is with me. He will soon open for me the way. Lord, show me how you bring the dead to life. Lord, forgive and send mercy from heaven. Lord, do not leave me alone, and you are the best of inheritors. Lord, reform the people of Muhammad. Our Lord, judge between us and our people with truth. You are the best of judges. They frighten you by someone other than Allah. You are in our sight, under our watchful care. I have named you Mutawakkil, the one trusting in God. Allah praises you from His throne. Your name will come to an end, O Ahmad, but my name will not come to an end. Be in the world like a stranger or a traveler, and be of the righteous and the faithful. I have chosen you and have poured my love over you. Hold fast to Tawheed, the oneness of God. Hold fast to Tawheed. O sons of Persia, Give glad tidings to those who have believed that they have the station of righteousness before your Lord. Do not turn away from Allah's creatures, and be not tired of people, and deal kindly with the Muslims. They are Ashab al-Suffa in the eyes of Allah. Footnote: In one corner of the Prophet's mosque in Medina, a covered platform was prepared, which was known as Suffa. This served as the resting place of indigent immigrants who dedicated themselves to the worship of Allah, the company of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and recitation of the Holy Quran. They became known as Ashab al-Suffa. End footnote. Do you realize how magnificent in status the Ashab al-Suffa will be? You will see their eyes shedding tears. They will call down blessings on you. They will supplicate, "Our Lord, we have heard a caller calling people unto faith and a summoner to Allah. Our Lord, we have believed, then write us down among the witnesses. Your rank is wonderful and your reward is near. With you are the hosts of the heavens and of the earth. You are to me as my tawheed and tafreed, uniqueness. The time has come that you should be helped and be made well known among people.
You have been blessed, O Ahmad. And you alone deserved the blessing that Allah has bestowed upon you.
You have a high station in my presence. I have chosen you for myself, and you have a standing with me of which people have no notion.
Allah would not leave you till He separates the unclean from the clean.
Look at Yusuf, Joseph, and his glory. Allah is supreme over His commands, but most people know it not. I willed that I should create my vicegerent, so I created Adam, so that he might establish the law and revive the faith. The book of my friend is the Dhulfiqar, sword of Ali. Had faith ascended to the Pleiades, a man from among the Persians would have brought it down. Its oil would well nigh glow forth, even though fire touched it not. The champion of Allah in the mantle of messengers. Say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah will then love you. Call down blessings on Muhammad and the people of Muhammad, the chief of all mankind, and the seal of the prophets. Your Lord will have mercy on you and will safeguard you himself, even if men will not safeguard you. Allah will safeguard you himself, even if no one from the dwellers of the earth will safeguard you. Perished be the two hands of Abu Lahab. He too has perished. It did not behove him to interfere in this matter except with extreme caution. Whatever befalls you is from Allah, and know that the end is for the righteous. Warn your near relatives. We shall show them a sign from among our signs in the matter of the widow and shall return her to you. This has been settled from our side, and we shall certainly do it. They used to reject our signs as false, and were of the scoffers. Good tidings to you on the marriage. The truth is from your Lord. Then be not of the doubters. We have married her to you. No one can avert the words of Allah. We shall return her to you. Your Lord is all-powerful and does whatever He determines. This is grace from us, so that it should be a sign for the beholders. Two goats will be slaughtered, and everyone upon the earth will ultimately perish. And we will show them our signs in all corners of the inhabited world, and our signs shall appear among themselves and shall show them the punishment of the disobedient.
When the help of Allah comes, and victory, and the hosts turn to us, it will be asked, "Was this not true?"
Those who have disbelieved are in patent error. I was a hidden treasure, and I willed to be recognized. The heavens and the earth were a solid mass, and we split them asunder. Reply to them, I am but a mortal like you. It is revealed to me that your God is one God, and that all goodness and virtue is contained in the Quran. The verities of the Quran are only disclosed to those whom Allah has cleansed and purified with His own hand. I have been living among you for a lifetime. Will you not then understand? Say, therefore, the guidance of Allah alone is true guidance, and indeed my Lord is with me. He will show me the way.
Lord,
forgive and send mercy from heaven. O God, I am overcome. Do ye avenge me. O my Lord, why have you forsaken me? O Abdul Qadir, I am with you. I hear and I see. I have planted the tree of my mercy and omnipotence for you with my own hand, and today you have with us a high rank and a position of trust. I am your inevitable support. I am the one who brings you to life. I have breathed into you the spirit of truth, and I have conferred my own love upon you, so that you might be treated well in my presence, like a seed that sends forth its sprout. Then it grows stronger until it stands firmly on its stem. We will bestow upon you a manifest victory so that God Almighty may forgive your shortcomings, past and future. Then be of the grateful. Is God not sufficient for his servant? Is not Allah aware of those who are grateful? Allah has accepted his servant and cleared him of what they spoke of him, and he was honorable in the sight of Allah. So when God manifested himself on the mountain, he shattered it into pieces, and God Almighty will frustrate the design of the disbelievers, so that we might make him a sign for the people and a mercy from ourself, and so that we might bestow upon him glory from ourself, and thus do we reward those who do good. You are with me, and I am with you. Your secret is my secret. The mysteries that God Almighty has granted to his awliya, friends of Allah, cannot be encompassed. You are based on clear truth, of high standing in the world and in the hereafter, and of those who are close to Allah. A foolish one does not confirm anything except the stroke of destruction. My enemy and your enemy. He is just a lifeless body of a calf out of which issues a disagreeable sound. Say, the command of Allah is approaching, so do not be of those who are in a hurry. The moon of the prophets will come, and your affair will be completed, and from the beginning it is binding upon us to help the believers.
Footnote: The promised Messiah alayhi salam has identified 30 July 1893 as the date of this revelation. Publisher. End of footnote.
So on the day the truth arrives and is laid open, and the losers suffer loss, and see the neglectful fallen into prostration and supplicating, Lord, forgive us, we were in error. There will be no blame on you this day, for you have believed. God will forgive your sins, for he is the most merciful of those who show mercy. You will die when Allah will be pleased with you. Peace be upon you. You have been cleansed of idolatry. So enter paradise in peace. As for our beliefs, which Allah has established for us, know, O my brother, that we believe in Allah as Lord, in Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, as a prophet, and we believe that he is Khatamun Nabiyyin, the seal of the prophets. We believe in the Furqan, Holy Quran, to be from Allah the Most Gracious. We do not accept anything that opposes the Furqan and differs with its indisputable evidence, its decisive verses, and its narratives, whether it is an intellectual matter from one of the traditions that the Ahlul Hadith considered to be a true Hadith, or whether it is from one of the statements of the companions or their subsequent generation, because the Noble Furqan is a book whose being tawatur has been proved word by word, and it is recitable, doubtless, and certain revelation. He who doubts its decisiveness is, in our opinion, a renegade disbeliever and is among the disobedient. The Quran is characterized specifically by consummate perfection, and it has a status which is superior to the status of every book and every revelation. The hand of man has not tampered with it. As far as other books and traditions are concerned, they cannot approach this sublime position, and whoever prefers anything else over it indeed prefers doubt over certainty. How many sects in Islam have differed with each other in accepting some ahadith whilst rejecting others? For instance, most of the ahadith which the Shafi sect accept are rejected by the Hanafis, and those accepted by the Hanafi sect are rejected by the Shafis, and so it is with other Muslim sects. How many ahadith are mentioned by Imam Bukhari in his Sahih, which is the most authentic book after the Book of Allah in the opinion of the Ahlul Hadith? On the other hand, however, the Hanafi sect do not accept most of his ahadith, such as the hadith concerning the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha after the Imam and saying Ameen in a loud voice, and so forth. They pay no heed to these ahadith. However, no one designates them as disbelievers or considers them from among those who have abandoned prayer or as innovators. In fact, most of the ahadith are ahad, meaning
footnote,
a tradition in which there is only one chain of narrators connected to the same single source. Such a tradition may nevertheless be authentic and reliable. However, it cannot be regarded as reliable as those traditions that have more than one chain of reliable narrators.
End of footnote.
Whether they are in Al-Bukhari or other collections. So they should not be accepted until after verification, appraisal, confirmation from the Quran that they do not violate its clear statements and decisive verses, and after considering who and how many narrated it consecutively. Therefore, how can anyone be accused of disbelief for abandoning a hadith that opposes the Quran, or for presenting an interpretation which makes the hadith congruent with the Quran, while by doing so he delivers the Muslims from the critics' attacks? How can you accuse a believer in Allah, His Messenger, and His Book of disbelief for the sake of denying one hadith which was reported by a single narrator and which might suffer from the blemish of man's prevarications? Consider, for example, the subject of the death of the Messiah, peace be upon him. It has been confirmed by indisputable evidence in the authentic and mutawatir Book of Allah. His death is clearly attested to in approximately 30 verses, which I have recorded in my book entitled Izalae Oham, The Removal of Misconceptions, for the benefit of the seekers after truth. Should you mention a hadith pertaining to Damascus, cited in Sahih Muslim, then know it has been interpreted literally. There is no doubt that its literal interpretation opposes the Quran, conflicts with its indisputable evidence, as well as other hadith, which we have mentioned in Izalae Oham. A Muslim could never be content with abandoning the absolute certainty of the Quran for the sake of a single hadith which does not even have a high degree of certainty. Had we acted in this manner, preferring a single narrated hadith to the Book of Allah, then the religion would have been corrupted, the Islamic creed would have been destroyed, the impregnability of the faith would have disappeared, belief would have been violently shaken, and the attack of the disbelievers against us would have intensified.
Yes, we believe in that part of the hadith which does not conflict with the Quran, meaning the part that states that the promised Messiah will appear as a mujaddid at the beginning of the century during the time of the Christians' dominance over the earth.
He will appear in a land that they have corrupted and whose inhabitants they have converted from Islam to Christianity. Then he will break the cross, kill the swine, and will bring happiness to the rest. If the expression Nuzul, descent, near a minaret in Damascus agitates you, we have established that descent from heaven is preposterous and untenable. The Furqan does not confirm it. On the contrary, it denies it in a clear statement. If you believe in the Furqan and prefer it to everything else, then you should believe in the death of the Messiah and the implausibility of his descent from the skies, as you read in the words of the Lord of all the worlds. The surprising thing is that the expression descent from the skies is not found in any hadith and is only a perversion of the fabricators. All ahadith agree that the promised Messiah will be from this ummah, for prophethood has been terminated and our messenger is Khatamun Nabiyyin. The word Nuzul, which is mentioned in the hadith, has the meaning of a traveler alighting from place to place, because Nazil in Arabic means a traveler. Even if we do accept the authenticity of this hadith, then it only establishes that the promised Messiah or one of his caliphs will travel from a certain place and will alight in Damascus. So why should people bemoan the use of the word Damascus? Nay, it is confirmed, by using the phrase Nuzul near a minaret in Damascus that the homeland from where the promised Messiah will come forth is in another dominion and he will only alight in Damascus in his travels. This is if we accept the hadith in the literal sense, although that in itself is debatable, because the hadith in general are speculative except that portion which is confirmed by the continuous practice of the believers. Had the ahadith that are recorded in Al-Bukhari and other books been certain, like the Holy Quran, then whoever would reject them would become liable to disbelief, just as denying the verses of the Quran makes one liable to disbelief, as is known by those who are well acquainted with the firm Sharia. If this was the case, then it would necessarily mean that all Muslims should be deemed disbelievers, and it would be unavoidable for any of the Muslims, whether distinguished or ordinary, to escape from the dilemma of disbelief. Nay, not even the foremost among our Imams would be safe from this predicament, because it is a general affliction which all fuqaha, jurists, imams, and muhaddithin, hadith scholars, suffer from, that they abandon and reject some of the ahadith. However, since our Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is Khatamul Anbiya, the seal of the prophets, there can be no doubt that whoever believes in the descent of a Messiah who is a prophet of the children of Israel has indeed denied Khatamul Nabiyyin. Woe to people who say that the Messiah, Jesus son of Mary, is to descend after the death of the Messenger of Allah, and say that he will appear and abrogate some of the commandments of the Holy Quran and add others, that revelation will descend upon him for 40 years, and that he will be the last of the messengers. The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has said, La Nabiyya Ba'di, there will be no prophet after me, and Allah has called him Khatamul Anbiya. Therefore, wherefrom shall a prophet appear after him? Will you not then reflect, O Muslims? You are following delusions born out of injustice and untruth, and you treat the Quran as a discarded thing, and thus you have become slothful. We believe in the angels of Allah and in their stations and ranks. We believe that their descent is like the descent of rays of light, not like the travel of human beings from one abode to another. They do not depart from their fixed stations. Nevertheless, they do descend and ascend. They are the army of Allah, inhabitants of the heavens, and their fellow dwellers. They do not become separated from their positions. There is none that does not possess an assigned station. They do what they are commanded. No one issue can distract them from other issues, and they duly obey the Lord of all the worlds. Had it been necessary to be separated from their stations in order to execute their tasks, then it would not be possible for some souls to die at the same moment. It would be mandatory that a person in the east should not die at the time Allah had decreed for him, before the angel of death had finished taking the soul of a man in the west, who was destined to die at the same moment as the other man, and before traveling to the east. This is nothing except a clear lie. Their only command, when they intend a thing by the permission of Allah, is to say to it, Be, and it is. They do not have to descend with great hardship to themselves, nor to expend time, walk away, or leave their station like the dwellers of the earth. We believe that the assembly of the bodies, meaning the resurrection, is true, that heaven is true, that hell is true, that everything that is mentioned in the Quran is true, that everything that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has taught us is true, and that he is the best of the prophets and the seal of the messengers. He who imputes to us even one iota that differs with the Sharia and the Furqan has lied against us and has slanderously produced a manifest calumny. Hearken, we are innocent of every matter that contradicts a statement of our Messenger, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And we believe in all matters which our Master and our Prophet has mentioned, even if we do not know their true nature or have not been taught further information about them through clear revelation. We are innocent from every reality which the Sharia does not support, and we cling to the rope of Allah with all our heart, all our might, and all our understanding. We have submitted ourselves to you, our Lord. Make us among the doers of good. Our Lord, pour forth upon us steadfastness for what we have suffered, and cause us to die resigned unto you. My soul possesses no precedence over the souls of my brethren. However, Allah has conferred favors upon me and has made me among the blessed. Among the favors that He has bestowed upon me are His conversation and discourse. He has taught me secrets that I would have been unable to decipher had He not been my teacher, and He has made me one of the heirs of the prophets. Another blessing that He has conferred upon me was that when He found the Christian people creating disorder in the earth, taking a human being as God without any justification, and leading the servants of Allah astray, He sent me to break their cross, to tear asunder their stratagems, distant and near, and to cut off the roots of the sinners. Also among the blessings that He has conferred upon me are signs from heaven, completion of the argument against the enemies, and disgrace for every miserly and greedy person who opposes me. Therefore, I swear by His might and glory that I stand on manifest truth. You would see the signs of my truth like showers were you to accompany me like seekers of truth. I swear by Allah repeatedly that should anyone come to visit me for 40 days, committed to the acquisition of truth and the quest for knowledge, he will see some of the signs of my Lord. The envious accused me of disbelief before contending with me, equaling my excellences and matching my deeds, but they rebuked me as transgressors. Yet, when they witness the signs, they say, "This is nothing but clear deception or numerology or astrology." So they walk about blundering and are indeed a blind people. The sun has risen and the sky is clear, but neither its light nor its radiance benefits the blind, as Satan has chosen them for himself, for he is their companion. O my brother, you think me to be a disbeliever, but I am a believer who professes the oneness of Allah. I follow my messenger and master, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Allah has made me the heir to His knowledge, His noble capacity, and His excellences. I hope to die as one of His followers. However, I am so soft with you in my words, and I request you to soften your words with me. So, do not be rough with me, and do not make the disbelievers rejoice over me. You should neither show me the fire, nor unsheath your sharp sword, for the believer is gentle and kind. The righteous bear the heavy burdens of their brethren, hasten to console their hearts and alleviate their distress, and they do not desire to kill them and cut them into pieces, nor to pronounce them to be liars. Differences between the sects in Islam are numerous, but notwithstanding, one sect does not advocate the murder of another. The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "Ikhtilaf ummati rahmah." Differences of opinion among my followers are a blessing. So extinguish your fire, O my brother, sheath your sword, and follow the practice of the righteous. Why do you vex the one who loves the best of all mankind? Is this the way to console the soul of Mustafa, the Chosen One, or to please our Lord, the Most High? Know that Allah and His Messenger have disavowed those who oppose their awliya. If you hope for the intercession of our Messenger, you should not harass the beloveds who are at peace with their Lord. Fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah, so that He might forgive your sins and allow you to take a seat among the blessed ones. O frail, destitute human being, truly the abhorrence of Allah is greater than your repugnance, so fear His acts and be among those who tremble. May Allah guide thee aright. Is my murder permissible, or should a person like me be destroyed and swept away? Is it consistent with the religion of Islam that I be disgraced without any proven fault? My truth is evident for the beholders. The Book of Allah and the Sihah also bear witness to it. Insulting and inflicting harm is uncharacteristic of a noble person, but thus do winds rage.
The pure will understand the words of the pure, and their heart will be healed by eloquent discourse. I fear not the enemy in the cause of my Lord, for the land of Allah is extensive and ever widening. In the face of misfortune, O my beloved, we are content, we are grateful no matter what, and we are in a state of serenity. Follow not the desires of the self, and reflect upon my intention. I swear by my Lord, this is only sincere advice. How strange! On my part, I honor and pray for you, but on your part, there is naught but swords and piercing lances. Your country is a garden of beneficence. Accordingly, sir, godliness is expected from you. How strange that a gentleman like you would inflict harm on me, while in Baghdad many blessings are encountered. I have observed, O beloved, that you have mentioned me with insult. Why is this so? When your normal behavior is characterized by kindness, we have taken everything that you have offered as a precious gift, and acted with sincerity towards you, and have become exceedingly delighted. So, accept my response as a gift from me, but remember the initial step was taken by you. When my talons clutch the opponent, then his only recourse is exemplary punishment or submission. However, if you approach me amicably and peacefully, then there will be glad tidings and success for the visitors. If you approach not the flowing rivers, you cannot expect to be given water from the wind. Extracting water from solid ground is easy if you dig hard, but you will perish if you remain sitting or supine. O my beloved, we have spared no effort in offering our advice to you, and we have struggled in order that you might heed these important counsels. My advice is sincere, not frivolous, serious and significant, not corrupted with jest. So, O my beloved, reflect upon my statements, for verily reflection is an ornament of piety. My grief for my people exceeds every other grief, even more than bereaved mothers or lamenting mourners. Come on, O possessor of nobility, come on, but if you desist not, the time of punishment is near. I have great worth in the sight of my Lord. My entreaties are not rejected or refused. When a person like me cries during supplication, a destined grace hastens towards him, and the light of my sun will soon shine forth, and mortals will follow it, except the insolent. And the day of my Lord will come like lightning. Then neither the dogs nor their yelps will remain. Every day I have for my Lord's grace spiritual ranks in which there is ignominy for the enemies. I have been granted a perfect light like the full moon, and a face which is illumined and never fading. Today we are drinking the evening drink, but after the night there will be a festive morning. The Protector has given me every kind of light, and I have received by His grace comfort and serenity. Would you kill me without any proof of the crime? Tell me, then, what is the offense that I have committed? We have slain the disbelievers with the sword of arguments. Our supposed killer will never meet any success. We have no refuge except in the Originator, as no shield or weapon can protect us. Do you know how he drags one by the forelocks? A sovereign such that even those who reach a great height will not be able to confront. The Lord demolishes the summit of every towering mountain. Every bayonet and sword are subservient to him. O my adversary, do you seek to kill me with a sword? And my murder, in your opinion, is a legitimate thing. We have already been slain by the sword of our beloved, and the wind has blown away our particles. But, O chieftain of the people, where is your sword? A ravenous party has settled in your land. That party has assaulted you, sneaking up like a wolf. Their case was nothing short of a raging flood. Every misfortune has befallen you. There is nothing left in your homes but calamities. Yet, how many Muslims suffer the pangs of hunger, and spend their lives in hunger without repose? The ocean of knowledge knows the waves of my ocean, but you possess only stagnant water. I have composed my poem extemporaneously. Where lies its excellence if it was not improvised? So, take my advice kindly, like the noble ones. You have been offered a pure truth. If you still wish to engage me in combat, notwithstanding my sincere advice, then know for sure that I am a stalwart champion. O my brother, may Allah protect you. I have written this treatise out of compassion for your condition and as a means of reformation and to rid you of your delusions. So, marvel at its pearls and take notice of the deep secrets that lie within it. I have heard that your natural disposition is amicable, it is pleasant to be in your company, and that you sacrifice yourself for the sake of others, are generous, have tolerance, chivalry, and are one of the beneficent ones. I do not think that you would take up an erroneous position or one which leads to regret and remorse, or that you should follow blindly the paths that end in censure and blame. On the contrary, I think you will be inclined to seek pardon for the blunder. My opinion of you is sublime, so prove true to my good estimation and fear Allah. Verily, I regard you as a son of the righteous. If you are in doubt about anything which I have written in my book, you are at liberty to ask me about any point, the true nature of which you do not know, or whose essence you do not understand. May you be cautious regarding the statement of disbelief, as it, my book, is a portion of the knowledge of the Book of Allah and the essence of the religion. The wise one is always ready to give up his position when confronted with clear truth. Arise, therefore, and fill your cup with our clear flowing water. Our last supplication is, all praise belongs to Allah, Lord of all the worlds.